No. She's being defiant for the sake of it, playing the game. She knows one way or another this dress is coming off. You're heading for a retribution, fuck. Startled, she looks up at me, my promise snapping her out of a trance. I immediately kick myself. Too much? Ava laughs, somewhere between bewilderment and amusement. What the hell is a retribution, fuck? I feel heat in my cheeks, and she hasn't missed it, her gaze jumping from my bristly face to my eyes. There are so many mind-bending things for her to get her head around. The time has come to address the fucks. While the styles of fucks I lay on my wife were perfectly understood between us, I never imagined what it must sound like to a stranger. And right now, painfully, my wife is practically a stranger. Great. So we're going to have a conversation about fucks. Why didn't I keep my stupid mouth shut and focus on getting that dress off? I take in air, wary of her half-smile. She might not be smiling in a minute. Want to sit down? Do I need to? Probably, I admit, reluctantly moving from her path. She moves across to the chair and slowly lowers, her eyes always on me. So, the retribution, fuck? It's like a punishment, I guess. I shrug and put the stupid scissors away. She looks horrified, and every reason for me to be worried about this conversation is confirmed. You punish me? Yes, but you like it. I like being punished. Damn it. How can I explain this so it makes any sense at all? It's a game, I start, having a quick nibble on my lip before I go on. A power play. You've always humored me. Fucking hell, what do I sound like? The handcuffs! Her neck recoils sharply and she hisses, reaching for her head on a wince. Guilt tears me up inside, and I move in to ease her, but come to an abrupt halt when she raises her hand, warning me off. Handcuffs! Again with the handcuffs! You didn't just use them as a gimmick on our wedding day! Fucking hell, I shrug sheepishly. It's all part of the game. Ava looks away, her hand still in her head, rubbing lightly. Who has the power? She murmurs meekly. Another jolt of life sparks within me, and I quickly put myself in the stool in front of her, taking her hands from her head and holding them firmly. Me. I swap her hands for her cheeks and plant a kiss on her lips. Always me. But something tells me it's actually me, she says against my lips, and I smile like a madman, because she's right. You keep telling yourself that, lady. I rub her nose with mine. So you punish me? She takes my hands from her cheeks and interlaces our fingers. What for? Not doing as you're told? And sometimes I utilize the reminder, fuck, just to remind you of your place. Eyes wider still, she just stares at me. The retribution? The reminder? All sounds lovely. The sarcasm in her tone is potent. What other fucks do we have? I think your favorite is the truth. Why? Well, you get to handcuff me, usually when I'm asleep. I scowl at her, I can't help it. And you use your position of power to extract information from me. Her eyebrow lifts, her eyes looking me up and down. She's imagining restraining me. It's both thrilling and terrifying, especially when there's so much more about us for her to learn. I decide here and now that in actual fact, I'd hate it if Ava laid a truth fuck on me again. I make a mental note to find the cuffs and hide them somewhere. She'll never find them. Then there's the apology, I continue. Who's apologizing? She asks quickly, though I know she knows. You. What for? Usually for being defiant. She laughs again. Like wearing an unsuitable dress? Exactly like that. So are you going to make me apologize? Jesus, I love nothing more. My dick is screaming at me to let her. I'm not sure you're up for that just yet. Why, what do you make me do? Her face is becoming more horrified by the second. Make her? I don't make her do a damn thing. Wouldn't dream of it. My lips pressed together. Jesus Christ, I must sound like a monster. I cough and glance down at my groin, and Ava flies out from a stool. Are you fucking kidding me, Ward? More sparks, more life. She called me Ward. She only ever calls me that when she's spitting mad with me. And what do I do when she swears? Watch your fucking mouth! I bellow, knocking her back a few steps with a force. Fuck off! She snaps, stomping off out of the kitchen. Shit, I love her so fucking much. I go after her, hearing her indignant huffs and puffs as she stamps up the stairs. Ava, I call, running up behind her, three steps at a time. Fuck you, you're a hypocritical wanker, Ward. Watch my mouth, why don't you watch yours? I notice a small limp on her last few steps. You called me Ward. I rush to explain and she stops. You always call me Ward when you're cranky with me. She slowly turns, her thoughtful face coming into sight. I imagine I call you Ward all the time, she mutters. A few times a day, I admit, my shoulders jumping up casually. Mostly you humor my needy side. I extend my hand from a few steps below her, resigning myself to the fact that today, the dress can stay. She just better hold me back if some pervert has a wandering eye. And the thing I need most of all is you. Her body softens, her sigh definitely dreamy. And then you're all romantic. I smile, and I know it's shy. I've been known to have my moments. Like? The interest in her voice thrills me. She's craving information, and I'm more than happy to give it. We have romantic fucks, too, you know. She laughs lightly. Well, that's a relief. There's sleepy twilight sex, and sleepy sex, and the compromise fuck. We had loads of those when you were expecting the twins. And what does a compromise fuck entail? A little rough, a lot of gentle. And for the record, lady, you were the one who wanted the rough. I nod when she huffs a light breeze of surprised laughter. And then there's the quiet fuck, usually when we've stayed at your parents'. Her light laughter turns quickly into hard laughter. You gag me, don't you? You can't keep your pleasure quiet, Ava. What can I say? I shrug around a cocky grin and she shakes her head in dismay. Go on, she urges. I take a step up, bringing us to eye level. The proposal fuck was quite romantic. You asked me to marry you during sex. Actually, you were handcuffed to the bed and I didn't release you until you accepted. She's now on the verge of falling to her ass in amusement. I know it's a lot to take on board, but at least she's laughing and not raging anymore. I can't believe what I'm hearing. Believe it, baby. But if it makes you feel better, I did propose again, on my knee in front of your parents. Satisfaction flourishes before my very eyes. She looks dreamy, one hand moving to her chest. This pleases her. I know how much her parents' opinion means to her. I try to behave around them. I try real hard. I don't always succeed, but still, it's the thought that counts. It was my birthday. You couldn't say no. A smile pulls at the side of her mouth. And how old were you? 25. Softly chuckling, she glances away, clearly coming to terms with all of this. Her life. My life. Our life. Wait. She looks back to me. Why did you propose twice? All the contentment flowing through my veins turns to acid, my lips forming a straight, annoyed line. I'm not annoyed with her, more with myself. We'd, had a disagreement.
Really?
I can't imagine what there could have been for us to disagree about. There it is, the sarcasm. Sarcasm. Doesn't suit me, I know. Why did you propose twice? Can we get back to the fox? Her head tilts in impatience. Tell me. I can't go over this again, and I'm not afraid to tell her so. It doesn't matter. Just know I punished myself, and you punished me too. Comprehension dawns fast, and she flinches, as if she could be being hit with a motherfucking whip in her hand. So you cheated on me when we were engaged? God, no, I blurt, disgusted by the suggestion. Give me strength. I won't insult her and tell her we barely knew each other, nor will I argue my case in any way. It's done. I can't change it. I hate myself every day for it, but it's done. You found out when we were engaged. That's why I proposed to you again, properly. I was trying to show you that I could be the man you needed as well as the man you wanted. Oh, is her only acknowledgement. Good, let's move on. On to the most utilized fuck in our lives. The danger fuck is our favorite these days. What's that? When the kids are within a mile radius. Her smile's back, and so is mine. Can we go for dinner now? Depends. Her nose lifts, and she waits for me to ask for confirmation of what exactly our date depends on. I don't need to ask. On a dramatic roll of my eyes, I pick her up, mindful of that limp, and carry her down the stairs. You can wear the fucking stupid dress. She grins, victorious, and loops her hands over my neck. Wasn't so hard, was it? We've not left the house yet. And you should have worn flats instead of heels. I saw you limping.
I wasn't limping.
Are you arguing with me?
Yes.
I wrinkle my nose and nuzzle hers. Are you wearing lace under that red thing?
I didn't have much choice. There's nothing but lace in my knicker drawer.
Good. I carry her out and put her in my Aston, pulling the belt across her body. She doesn't protest, just lets me do my thing and buckle her up. We're late, I muse, checking my Rolex as I shut the door and round the car. Falling into the driver's seat, I start her up and rev a few times.
That's your fault for having so many fucks to explain.
She goes to the mirror and applies a little gloss to her lips.
Which was your favorite, by the way?
I laugh loud and sharp as I put the stereo on, and Glass Animal's Youth fills the car. All, except the truth. I turn up the volume and zoom off, reminding myself to find those handcuffs and hide them. Chapter 27. As expected, the gang is waiting for us when we arrive, all sitting around a table in the corner, two spaces left for me and Ava. As soon as Kate spots us, she scrambles up from her chair and takes Ava in a hug, getting as close as her baby bump will allow.
So good to see you.
We're still young in my head, Ava sighs, and Kate starts giggling.
How's yoga going?
Great. I met a girl, Zara. She's lovely, and she mentioned that the firm she works for is always looking for new interior designers. I might look into it.
I scowl over my dead body.
That's fab, Kate says, flicking me a cautious look as my wife pulls away and tugs that ridiculous dress down her thighs.
I scowl again, this time at the racy red number, wondering what I was thinking letting her wear it, and pull out Ava's chair. Sit, I order, earning a collection of incredulous looks from all angles of the table. Please, I add through my ticking jaw. Ava lowers to the seat,
the tension obviously thick. Not because of my beef with the dress and not because she's talking about a job she isn't going to be applying for. It's the first time the guys have seen Ava since the accident. Sam, Drew, and Rhea all look a bit nervous, none of them obviously knowing what to say to her. Ava must sense it, because she flicks me a nervous look and then sighs, returning her attention back to our quiet friends. "Nice to meet you," she chirps. The guys laugh and the tension lessens as a result of a joke. "Drinks!" I flick my arm in the air, summoning a waiter. Everyone throws their orders at me for alcohol, excluding Kate, but including my wife. I don't think so. "Water, please," I tell the waiter, as I indicate to Kate and my wife. "For me too, and wine for Rhea," I nod across to her. "Make it a bottle," Drew pipes in quietly. Ava's hand meets my forearm as she leans across, speaking quietly. "I'd like wine." She thinks I didn't hear her. I heard her perfectly, louder than everyone else who virtually shouted their order to me. Smiling tightly at the waiter, whose paws scribbling on his pad looking at me, I turn toward my wife. "You're not having it." My tone is a warning, and she would do well to take notice. As I slowly swivel back toward the waiter, I catch the faces of our friends. All of them are silent, watching, nervous. "Water," I reiterate, taking my napkin and laying it across my lap. Silence. Eyes dodging me and Ava. Awkward vibes. I start chewing my lip, peeking out of the corner of my eye. The look of pure disgust on my wife's face actually makes me wince. Shit, she looks livid. "You'd better order me some wine, Ward." She comes close, eyes full of fire, making me slowly lean back. I hear Sam cough through a laugh and Drew snorts. Wankers. They should be backing me up. She just came at the other side of a horrific car incident. She's not at full health. Drinking alcohol would be daft, and it would be highly irresponsible for me to let her. "Now," she adds on a growl that rivals mine. "It's not safe," I argue quietly. "The last thing you need is alcohol fuzzing your already pickled mind." "Pickled," she coughs over my lame choice of word. "My mind isn't pickled, Jesse. Order me some wine, or so help me God." "So help you God what?" I don't know." She stutters over a few more words before clearly finding the one she's looking for. "Divorce," she spits scathingly. The whole table gasps, me the loudest, and Ava shoots our friends a surprised look. "What?" Kate shakes her head mildly, warningly, and Sam blows out his cheeks. "Red flag. Bull on the loose. That's all I'm saying." He disappears into his glass while I fight to maintain my temper before it sends me off around the restaurant in a whirlwind. "Divorce. That damn fucking word is banned from our lives." "Well?" Ava shrugs, nonchalant, though I can sense her buried wariness. "I only want a glass of wine." I can feel the pressure in my head building, my body rolling where I sit. "Oh, here we go," Drew says quietly, taking his glass as if it could protect him from the imminent explosion. I bolt forward in my chair. "Take that back," I demand. She flies forward too, matching my threat, the defiant thing that she is. "Order me wine." "No!" She quickly has hold of my jaw, squeezing hard. "Do it!" A staring deadlock that would put all others that have come before to shame holds us in our positions for what seems like forever. I'm mad, so fucking mad, but deep inside, past that madness, is happiness. She's always known when to let me win, and now isn't one of those times. She's finding her feet, getting to know us. It takes a lot, a fucking lot, but... "Fine. You can have one glass." I relent, thinking she's onto a good one and she'd better appreciate it.
We'll see.
We will, I agree, prying her fingers from my jaw, maintaining my glare.
Are you done?
Kate sighs, accepting the bottle of white when the waiter approaches, making quick work of pouring for Rhea, and then Ava before I change my mind. She doesn't miss my eye on the side of Ava's glass watching the level. Though, I have to say, Kate goes on, nodding at Ava to seize the goods before it's swiped away by the madman sitting next to her. It's kind of nice to see you're still you. Toasting us across the table, she sips her water. So, when's the wedding? Ava asks Rhea, pulling the table back to some light chit-chat. My glare hardens when she takes her glass and peeks at me in a hidden grin as she takes her first sip. She'll pay for that. I put myself into the conversation, but my attention is never far from Ava's wine glass. It's been weeks since she had a drink, and we need to be careful of any reaction with the meds she's on. A few sips will be like a few bottles. Excuse me, Ava announces as she stands. I need the ladies. I sit up straight, contemplating escorting her as she leaves us. Is that a limp, or is it a drunken wobble? I don't know, and I need to be sure. Either way, she could do with my help. I make to stand. Jessie, Kate calls across the table. Leave her. But leave her. Her order is almost a warning, like I'd ever take any notice, except this time, I do. I don't know why, but I do. My eyes pass from the table to Ava's back a few times, as she gets farther and farther away from me. I'm so torn. I'd listen, Sam says, pointing to his girlfriend's pregnant belly with his beer. Honestly, man, I'd listen. What if she stumbles? I say to Kate, a clear, vivid flashback of her delicate head coming into my mind. There's blood. Lots of blood. I wince. She's had one glass of wine. Now sit! Come on, Jessie. Drew joins in the persuasion party. Know your limits, mate. I drop to the chair with a thud. I know fuck all anymore, I admit, my head finding my hands. I don't know if she'll ever remember me. The kids, our life. I know nothing, and it's breaking my fucking heart. I will myself not to cry. Try so fucking hard. But that one traitorous tear drops to the table, seeming to make a bang when it lands on the cloth. My strength is waning. I'm finally crumbling for everyone to see. Kate's next to me in a heartbeat, followed quickly by Rhea on the other side. Two women rushing to comfort the big baby. Don't let your frustration beat you, Rhea tells me, nudging my shoulder playfully. There's no way she could forget what you two have. Not forever. Are you being over the top? Kate pipes in, spiking light laughter from my supposed best mates. Smothering her? No, I assure her. Jesus, I'm sleeping in the spare bed. I even let her wear that fucking ridiculous dress, and now she's drinking wine when I really don't think she should be, so you can't tell me I'm being too suffocating. I leave out the rampage I went on yesterday when she went missing. They don't need to know that bit. I sniff and grab my water, so wishing I could swap it for something stronger, a lot stronger. She'll get there. Keep at it, Sam offers in a rare smile of support. Yeah, I swallow down my frustration and straighten myself out. What the fuck has gotten into me? Blubbering like a baby in front of friends. Here she is. I brush up my eyes quickly as Kate and Rhea return to their chairs. Don't worry, Drew says. We won't tell her you've been crying. Fuck you, I spit. I do believe you bawled one time when you thought a certain blonde had fucked off to Australia and left your sadistic ass. Drew swivels on the spot and Rhea chuckles. How cute. I pull out Ava's chair and she graciously accepts, looking at me as she lowers. Okay? I tug her closer and she leans in, naturally coming until my lips are pressed to her cheek. I'm sorry. I breathe across her skin. I worry, that's all. She pulls back and smiles softly, reaching for my cheek and caressing it lightly. I have you with me, so I'll be fine. Right? Never have those words sounded so comforting. Whether she's saying them because she's learning fast once again that I need to hear them as a moot point. Right, I confirm. We need to make friends. Kiss me. She doesn't question my order, and I know it's instinct rather than her being wise at trying to pacify me. Her kiss is just a lingering peck, only light but still. I'm swallowed whole, caught in that moment, until a cough interrupts my bliss. Peeking across the table, I find everyone watching us, waiting, smiling. Ava starts faffing with a napkin as I return to my chair, smiling at the sudden color of her cheeks. Sorry, she murmurs, her eyes darting everywhere except our friends. No one is fazed, no one but Ava. They all know us. We might not be wholly us at this particular moment in our lives, but I can tell my friends are as pleased to see tiny hints of the normal Jesse and Ava. We all order from the menu, the chat coming easier now. Observing Ava as Kate tells her stories from recent years is more pleasurable than I anticipated. As our meals land on the table, I watch for the next half hour as Ava pushes the food around her plate, drinking far more than she's eating. More wine? Kate mumbles around her chili-infused dish, the hottest on the menu, nodding at Ava's glass. Am I the only one here concerned about the amount of alcohol falling down my wife's throat? Semi-scowling to myself, I lean toward Ava. Take it easy, baby. You're still fragile. She rolls her eyes, patting my hand. It's so fucking condescending. I'm fine, she assures me. An hour later, she is not fine, and I'm fucking furious with myself for backing down. I don't trample all over the place for the fun of it. There are always perfectly sound reasons for me insisting on something, and the reason I didn't want her to drink is evident, as Ava wobbles her way up from her chair. Kate better not try to stop me this time. Tossing a scowl to each of my friends just so they know I'm holding each of them accountable, I take Ava's elbow and escort her to the ladies. I'm not drunk, she hiccups and giggles. Well, not much. Be quiet, I grumble, letting myself into the restroom with her and pushing a stall door open. In you go. I fill the door as opposed to closing her in, holding one of her hands while she pulls her knickers down with the other. What are you smiling at? She asks, lowering to the loo as she beams up at me, squinting through drunken eyes. I'm just surprised you haven't ordered me out. She's thoughtful for a beat. I didn't even think of it. Besides, we've had babies together. I assume you were there for the birth. My cheeks burn with a stretch of my grin. Fond memories of the day my babies were born coming back to me like it could have happened yesterday. Where has that time gone? It was the most beautiful day of my life, and stressful. I pull off some tissue and pass it to her, then help her up when she's finished. I think it's time to go home. Oh, but I've had a lovely evening, she whines, letting me guide her to the sink, listening to all the stories. Yes, it's been lovely, but not once has she shown even a hint of retrieving her memory. And I've been looking very closely for something, anything. Just another glimmer. It's late. I flip the tap on and put her hands under. And you've had more than enough to drink. Bossy boots? She giggles as I roll my eyes and take her hands to the towel. Can I have one more glass of wine before we go? No. I hold her wrist and guide her out of the toilets back to the table. We're going now. I hold Ava with one arm while retrieving my wallet with the other and grabbing some notes with my teeth. Ava takes them from my mouth before I have a chance to spit them out. He won't let me have another drink, she grumbles, tossing the money on the table. What a bore. One more for the road, Jessie, Kate pleads, batting her lashes. She's just a little tipsy. A little tipsy is too tipsy. I'm having fun, Ava retorts indignantly. It's not like there's much else to be happy about right now. I'm married to a man who I don't know, I don't recognize my children, and I'm missing 16 years of my life. Everyone shrinks at the table. I ignore them, and I also ignore my wife, taking her shoulders while biting my tongue. Say goodbye, I grate. Bye. Turning her steadily, I proceed to guide her drunken bones out of the restaurant. I need to turn this around before I lose my rag. I'm so close. You're heading for a retribution, fuck, lady. I open the door and give her a deadly serious face when she looks up at me through lowered lashes. She's imagining it. Me fucking her stupid while she's handcuffed to our bed. What else are you imagining? I ask her cockily, wanting her to know that I'm fully aware of where her inebriated mind is at. Nothing, she squeaks, moving past me through the door, her hips not swaying in their usual fashion, more jolting. That limp is getting worse. I'm hiding all of her heels when we get home, and I should mention it to her doctor. I'm about to swoop in and remove her from her feet when she stops abruptly, causing my front to collide with her back, knocking her forward a few steps. I catch her elbow and curse her. For fuck's sake, Ava! She pays no attention to my irritation, her focus remaining forward. Matt? She says. My neck cracks with the speed I lift my head, and my hand automatically moves from Ava's elbow to her waist. I also step forward and close the mere inch of space between our back and my front. Anger races to the surface. It's made worse by the fact that she recognizes the wanker she was with before she met me. It's a fucking kick in the teeth. A baseball bat to my gut, and it only fans the flames of my anger. Time hasn't been kind to Ava's ex-boyfriend. Not kind at all. Though I can tell by the way he's drinking in my wife that he thinks otherwise where she's concerned. Fucking hell, hold me back. Ava! He moves forward, oblivious to me looming beyond. I'm head and shoulders above Ava. You can't fucking miss me unless something more pleasurable is stealing all of your attention. And my wife, especially in that ridiculously short red thing, is definitely a more pleasurable sight than me. My face is twitching, caught between snarling, growling, and glaring. Wow, you look amazing. She shifts before me. Is she trying to break away from me, or is she nervous? I don't know, and I like the thought of neither, so I lock my hand tighter on her waist. She's going nowhere. But Matt is, if he doesn't fuck off. Like into space, when I launch him there with my fist. Thanks, Matt. Ava looks back at me, though I can't tell if her look is wary or warning. My eyes are preoccupied, burning holes through her arse-wipe ex. Just hearing her say his name causes all kinds of fury within me. I read in the paper that you were involved in an accident. Sounded pretty bad. Matt keeps his focus on Ava. Though I have to say, you're looking very well. I'm getting there. You're looking good yourself. How have you been? Seriously? I'm expected to stand here like a spare part while my wife and her ex-boyfriend have a fond reunion. Not happening. Over my dead fucking body. Or maybe it'll be over Matt's, because I swear I will fucking kill him. We're leaving. I tug Ava on, keeping my deadly stare trained on Matt as I escort her away. He finally looks at me. And I will him to have a little think about what happened the last time he came sniffing around my wife. That was rude, Jessie, Ava argues pointlessly as I walk us to the car. I stop her and bend, bringing myself to our eye level. You don't remember what he did to you, but I do. Instant bitterness travels in waves across her face, and I fear it's not bitterness toward her ex, but toward me. What did he do? She asks, all cocky. He cheated on you. You lived with him, Ava, and you moved out when you found out he'd cheated on you. He's an asshole. I see surprise on her face, and definitely hurt.
Over him?
So he cheated on me. You cheated on me? She laughs wickedly. What the fucking hell is wrong with me? And since I'm supposed to love you madly, your transgressions hurt more? So the only asshole I see right now is you, Jesse, just you, and I fucking hate you!
I can tell she regrets the words almost immediately by the quick press of her lips together, plus her small step back away from me. But I don't think she will ever appreciate how much it really does hurt. I think I'd rather take another knife to my stomach. She hates me.
I'm putting your cruelty down to too much alcohol. Get in the car, now!
I sound possessed and I don't give a fucking shit. Without another word, she slides into the passenger seat and buckles up, not taking her wary eyes from me as I slam her door and stalk around the front of the car. Throwing myself in with force, I start the engine and screech off recklessly, fighting to cool my burning rage. It's bad enough she recognized him. Bad enough that the last man she remembers in her life was that scumbag. But her words? I look down at my white knuckles gripping the steering wheel, the strength of my hold doing nothing to stop my shakes. I am fucking livid. Her hateful claim has put me in psycho territory. It's been years since my temper has reached these heights. Years since I flew off the handle and went on a rampage of destruction. I feel like every shitty thing is coming to a head. I'm at boiling point. And she knows it.
Chapter 28. The entire drive home, Ava's fingers remained clawed into the leather of her seat. It didn't make me take my foot off the pedal. Either the car took the heat of my anger or Ava did, and shouting and screaming at her wouldn't have helped either of us. I'm surprised my Aston's door doesn't drop to the gravel driveway on a scream of pain after I viciously slammed it shut. Ava's out of the car far quicker than I expected she could manage, hobbling to the door. I hurried to catch up, my instinct to help her taking over and taming my anger. I can walk. She bats my hands away as I try to pick her up. Leave me alone. I will never leave her alone. Leaving her alone would be as good as giving up. And where my wife is concerned, I never give up. As gently as I can, I lunge in and swipe her from her feet, lifting her over my shoulder. Forget it, lady. The smashing of her fists into my back are a sign of her trying to make a stand more than a means of escape. We both know she's going nowhere until I release her. I said leave me alone, she screams, half vexed, half hysterical. It's exactly how I feel inside. I absorb each blow, pacing toward the door.
Jesse!
Shut the fuck up, Ava, I warn, kicking the door open once I've unlocked it.
You're an animal.
Story of my fucking life where you're concerned. I lower her to her feet. The fists that were smacking pointlessly at my back begin pounding at my chest, and I just stand, motionless, letting her vent and thrash out, screaming her frustration. If only I had the same kind of outlet, something to beat and pound and scream at. But I don't, so I savor her brutal smashes of my torso, hoping that at the same time she beats the frustration out of me too. She goes for it mercilessly. Her strength fueled by her despair. And I'm fine with it. I'd be her punching bag for the rest of my miserable days if it would make her feel even the tiniest bit better. Because, ultimately, while I'm in pieces trying to navigate my way through this unfamiliar, painful territory, the love of my life is in more despair. While I have our memories to cling to, she does not. While I have our children's faces to picture during this nightmare, every moment of their short lives to remember, she does not. While I have hope and recognize the glimmers of her recollections, she does not. My thoughts take over, anger burning my insides as she continues to scream and punch.
Go on!
I roar, and she startles, moving back, Fucking hit me, Ava. It can't feel any worse than how I'm hurting here. I smash my fist into my chest. So hit me! I close my eyes as she comes at me again. And while she's lashing out, I think about how powerful our love is. Not as powerful as I always thought, because if it was, surely it would shine through anything. Even this. It takes me a few seconds to realize that she's stopped thumping me. And when I open my eyes, I find her heaving before me. Her hair a crazy mess around her face, her eyes wild. We stare at each other for a few moments. Me expressions. Ava clearly shocked by her outburst. I'm shocked that I've stood here and accepted it. Because what the fuck else would I do? Retaliate? Hit her back? Her thinking that might be a possibility makes me feel sick. Makes me want to hurt myself to demonstrate that I'd take everything before I'd let anything cause her pain. Just seeing her before me, looking so lost and hopeless, clearly wondering what I'm thinking, and me knowing what she's thinking only amplifies my despair and my anger. I can't take this. I leave her to compose herself in the hallway while I stalk through the house to the games room, my mind set on one thing, the one thing that will numb me, the only thing that will take me away from my nightmare. My eyes home in on the bottle set on the bar. The respite that just a few swigs could give me is too tempting to pass up. I shrug my suit jacket off and toss it to the carpet, then yank my tie loose and pop open the top button of my collar too. My eyes still in that bottle. My hand goes through my hair roughly. Long-lost memories of the alcohol-induced haze of nothingness return full force. I need that nothingness right now. Because if this is how my life is going to feel from now on, then I'm out. I'm done. I swipe up the bottle of vodka and pull out the cork, my breathing labored. A bead of sweat starts trickling down my forehead, and I roughly wipe it away as I bring the bottle to my lips. Just one sip. That's all it'll take. One swallow to start numbing the pain. Nostrils flaring, I knock back my first big gulp and gasp, the liquor burning down my dry throat. It hits my stomach hard, and my thoughts go back to the days when I was lost in a haze of drink and women. I see myself naked, with endless women, all women who aren't my wife.
Jesse!
Ava's stricken voice pierces my flashback, pulling me away from the decadent days of the manor, back to my reality. Her glassy eyes hold me in place. Beautiful eyes. The chocolate eyes that put me under a spell and never let me go. You shouldn't be drinking, she pants, still breathless from her episode in the hallway. I look down at the bottle, except this time I don't see an escape. Now I see poison. Now I see the coward's choice. Now I see real damage. She's right. I shouldn't be drinking it. But most importantly, she knows I shouldn't be drinking it. Why? I ask quietly, looking back to her. Why shouldn't I be drinking it, Ava? Her mouth opens and closes, her mind clearly straining to find the answer. I don't want to admit that the answer she's looking for isn't there. I don't want to accept that she won't find it. Her statement was just another one of those pointless glimmers of hope. Her blankness shoves me over the edge, and I lose my shit, frustration and despair getting the better of me. Why, Ava? I roar. Why shouldn't I be drinking the fucking vodka? I don't know, she sobs, her shoulders shaking uncontrollably, emotion finally taking the place of her frustration. I don't know. She buries her face in hands, hiding from our reality. Seeing her so broken is harder than dealing with the frustration. Seeing her so utterly helpless shreds my heart. This is lower than any depths of hell I thought I'd seen.
Fuck!
I flip, throwing the bottle at the wall ferociously before I do something stupid like down the rest. Shards of glass fly like shrapnel, the devil's juice spraying every wall. I shouldn't drink it because I'm a fucking alcoholic! I boom. Because before I met you, all I did was drink myself into oblivion and fuck anything with a fucking pulse. That's why. I stagger back, my back hitting the wall, my breathing shot. I can't control my body, my mouth, my fucking tears. Though I can still see her shock through the water distorting my sight. You gave me a reason to stop, Ava. I heave where I stand, feeling like my life's rapidly escaping my control altogether. You made my heart start beating again. And now you're not here anymore, and I don't know if I can go on without you. My knees buckle, and I slide down the wall like a sack of shit, hitting the floor in a thud. I'm past holding it all in. I'm so past trying to be the strong one, because without Ava, I'm the weakest man alive. And I feel like I'm without her now. My elbows hit my knees, my face going into my palms and hiding. I can't bear the shock in her face. Can't stand the fact that she's seeing me like this. Just go to bed, I beg, needing her to leave me alone in my misery. Just go. I feel cold, lonely, and then not. Her hand slides onto my neck, and I look up to find her kneeling before me, teary eyes staring into mine. I'm going nowhere. Edging her way closer, she places her palms on my knees and pushes them apart, moving between them. Because even though I don't know where I am, I feel like I'm at home. Even though I'm struggling to wrap my mind around you, more tears tumble as she squeezes my knees. I know you're mine. I know I'm your heart. Because even though I don't know you, I know that when I think of you gone, it hurts really bad just here. Taking my hand, she pushes it into her chest. Her heart is thundering like mine. Ava, I'm a broken man. I feel fucking awful admitting it. The thought of you losing every memory we've had together cripples me. I know you're stronger than this. I know you're more determined. You promised me you wouldn't give up on me. My heart constricts. Baby, I haven't given up. I sigh and gesture her closer, and she comes with ease, letting me pull her onto my lap and cuddle her. I'm just having a minor relapse. She snuggles close, and my world evens out a little. Don't have a relapse again, please. Then you need to start doing as you're told. Never, she argues. Because I know I never normally do I? I smile through my sadness. You don't. We remain bunched up on the floor for a while, quiet, both of us calming, our bodies recovering from our shakes. Then Ava breaks out of my hold, placing her lips on my cheek and inhaling. Come to bed? I swallow, hating that it sounds like an unsure question. I'd love to. I'll cuddle her all night, keep her close, no sex, no anything, just contact. I need contact. Thank you. Don't thank me, I scold her gently. Never thank me for loving you. Because it was what you were put on this earth to do. Her bottom lip quivers over every word, and I gulp down the melon-sized lump in my throat and yank her back into me. That's right, suffocating her with my hold. I sink my face into her hair and fight to keep more emotion at bay. This dress is still ridiculous, I croak. I forget I'm 38 now. So you were just being stubborn, yes? I don't need confirmation. I know my wife better than she knows herself. She nods into my chest. I don't have the figure I did when I was in my early 20s. I scoff at that, getting us up from the floor and lifting her into my arms. You're more beautiful every day. End of. We'll be having none of that nonsense. You're obliged to say that. I'm obliged to say nothing, lady. I take the stairs and enter our bedroom, But, as you know, you were obliged to do as I say. I place her on her feet and automatically turn her around, taking the zip of her dress. Understand? She nods and remains still as I unfasten her, my eyes falling down her back with the zip. As I push the material aside, I hold my breath, bracing myself for the vision of her exposed back. Perfect, I sigh, letting the red material drop to the floor. The black lace underwear underneath fits her perfectly. Fuck. I don't think that cuddle I was hoping for will be enough. Will she let me? My hands reach for the clasp of her bra. One flick releases the catch and I notice her shoulders lift an inch. I move in close and slide my forearm around her waist, resting my chin on her shoulder. I want to make love to you, I whisper, and she tenses, but not from fear. It's from anticipation. I want to peel this lace off your body and take my time exploring every inch of you. I drag the straps of her bra down her arms until it tumbles to the floor. I need you, Ava, more than I've ever needed you. Kissing her cheek lightly, I relish the feel of her pushing closer into me. Let me show you how much I love you. She turns slowly and lifts her chin to see me, and without a word she starts to unbutton my shirt one by one, slowly and purposefully, a million emotions dancing in her dreamy eyes. Fear, hope, but most of all, need. For me. I realize I need to be gentle, slow and patient, thoughtful and caring, more so than ever before. So I let her undress me at her own speed, resisting the urge to rip my clothes from my body and toss her on the bed. Want some help? I ask, just so she knows I'm open to all options. She glances up at me and I see apprehension in her gaze. And I realize that even though she's desperate for me, she doesn't know what this will be like. She doesn't know how explosive we are together, whether hard and raw or slow and loving. Don't be nervous. I take her wrists, instantly feeling her tremble. We don't have to do this. Never has it taken so much energy to say just a few words.
But I want to.
Her gaze drops from mine, down my torso, her teeth sinking into her lip. I really want to. Forcing her way out of my hold, she pushes my shirt from my shoulders and places her hands on my pecs. My body feels like it's just gone up in flames, and my hands twitch, desperate to grab her, ravage her, kiss her, make love to her. The look in her eyes tells me she's aware of all this. She knows.
I really want to.
She reinforces her claim with a hard kiss on the lips, and I'm instantly overwhelmed by it, my palm going to the back of her head, gently pushing her closer, my mouth opening, inviting her in. Her hands are everywhere. Our kiss is bordering clumsy. I can feel my control slipping. This is what desperation does to me. It makes me urgent. Makes me want to take her hard and fast, to stake my claim, mark my territory, show her how good we are. But now isn't the time for me to get carried away. I slow the tempo of our kiss. I don't need to give her instruction. Her hands find the fly of my trousers, and I kick off my shoes. I help her slide my trousers off, keeping up our kiss, and then walk her back to the bed. I take her down to the mattress and gently tug her up to the top. Our lips are still sealed, our tongues dancing slowly, breathing each other's breath. I don't think she's ever tasted so good, even with the hints of alcohol mixed between us. I come down to rest over her, taking my arms up over her head, leaving her hands free to roam my back, my ass, and eventually my face. She is lost. Consumed. I force myself to break our kiss, just to prove to myself that she'll hate the loss.
Jesse, she pants,
her hands grabbing at my hair, trying to get me back in her mouth. Then her legs lock around my waist, a demonstration that she's not letting me go anywhere.
Why are you stopping?
She blinks repeatedly, and the egomaniac inside me likes to think that it's because she's struggling with my magnificence so close up. I just want to look at you for a moment, knowing that I'll be inside you again very soon. Her lips purse, her hands going to the waistband of my boxers. She pushes them over the rise of my ass. How does a man of your age stay in such good shape? She cheekily pinches my bum, and I flinch in an epic grin. Lots and lots of sex. A small giggle escapes her, and her short nails sink into the flesh of my ass. I grip my teeth, enduring the sharp pain. I'll have to take your word for it. You'd better take my word for it. I raise my eyebrows in warning as a hand glides softly through my hair, her eyes following. Because it's so good? The sex? Yes. I'm afraid I need proof, Mr. Ward. Her brown eyes land on mine with a bang, and the blood that's been steadily filling my cock gushes in. Her lips press together, her hips flexing up, pushing into my colossal erection. Oh my, she breathes. You've felt nothing yet, lady. Down I go, lips crashing to hers, slow and steady, suddenly forgotten. Wild hands feel down my thighs and start pulling impatiently at my boxers. I can fully appreciate her eagerness, taking my own hands to her knickers, but rather than trying to shove them down her legs, I rip them right off. She inhales sharply but quickly adopts my method, tugging at my boxers. I hear a rip, but there's still a barrier between my flesh and hers. Fuck. I mutter, taking over, giving them a few brutal yanks. And then there's nothing but skin. Nothing but the friction of my flesh rubbing all over hers as we writhe together. Our lips and tongues clashing, our moans and hungry gasps blending, drenching the room. I need to be inside you now, I tell her, shifting my hips to get the angle right. It doesn't take much guidance from Ava to get my cock resting at her throbbing entrance. She sucks in air and holds it, and I pull back to get her in my sights. Eyes on hers, I nudge forward a fraction, resisting the urge to pound straight in. Are you ready, baby? Gotcha. She can hardly talk through her want, but she can move, rolling her hips up and taking a bit more of me. Oh, Jesus. My head drops limply, the feel of only a little bit of her stripping me of control. I thrust forward on a yell and hold still. You fit me just right. She threads her hands through the hair at my nape and tugs me back onto her lips. So fucking right. Watch your mouth, Ava. No. Okay. She could swear until she's blue in the face and I'm red and I wouldn't give a shit because now is everything. Move. She sinks her nails into my ass again, egging me on. Oh God, please move, you feel so good. I'm not the kind of man to disappoint, especially my wife. Nuzzling her cheek, I take her hands from my ass and thrust them up on the pillow, raising a little to get her in my sights. She's panting, wanting, loving the feel of me inside her. I jolt my hips teasingly. You want gentle, Jesse, baby? I lick my lips, savoring the sight of her sweating. Or should I rip you clean in two? She inhales somewhere between shock and delight. Which do I prefer? Depends on your mood. What are you in the mood for, gorgeous wife? Another thrust, short and sharp, makes her tense, snap her mouth shut and hold her breath. Just take me away from our nightmare for a while. I don't care how. Just do it. I waver on the edge of despondency. Our nightmare, she wants to escape. Then she bumps her hips too, and that despondency sinks into a pleasure like no other. I'm introducing a new fuck to our relationship, baby. Dipping, I kiss her hard.